Tim, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, Timmy, how pumped are you about the Celtics?
Yeah, well, it's a good first series, and they got through pretty well, played some good defense that first game. I'm pumped about them. I can't take all my attention to them, but I'm glad they're winning.
Hey, it's just good to be able to watch them in the month of May.
Yeah, that's been a long time
been a while.
Coming, hasn't it?
I want to talk to you, you know, and obviously huge series coming up this weekend. And after the sweep of Tennessee, and then you beat Memphis and Tennessee Tech, how much confidence is your team playing with right now?
Well, I think we're playing with a whole lot more confidence than I've seen thus far. I mean, the last 20 games were 17-3. A lot of those games have been played on the road. But I think it's just the evolution of guys getting healthy again. I mean, Pedro Alvarez is finally starting to feel good. Alex Feinberg's gained some weight back. He's feeling good. So I just think the weird injuries that caught up with us at the beginning, now guys are starting to feel good, and school's over. And that's a big factor here. You know, they don't have to deal with school anymore, so they're really professional baseball players for the next month and a half or however long we play. But I like the way we're playing right now.
You know, the question going into this season was obviously about the pitching, you know, with David Price gone and, you know, move some guys around, especially for your weekend rotation. Are you satisfied that that's progressed, you know, like you wanted it to as you get closer to the SEC tournament?
Yeah, I really am, Kevin. I mean, it's just been consistent. It's never been a lot of, you know, we haven't given up like 15 runs, 12 runs. It just, their ERA is about 4, and it just stayed that way the entire year. And those are all first-year guys, with the exception of Christiani and Jacobson, Brett Jacobson. So, yeah, I'm very pleased with that. And, you know, that's, I got a great pitching coach in DJ, but, you know, I think the thing is, these young kids have taken the ball and, for whatever reason, have pitched like they've been in our program for a couple years, and I like that. I mean, the future looks really bright that way, because we may lose just one guy off this pitching staff for the next couple years. So I like what we're capable of doing, but they certainly have kept us close in all these games, and then we played really good defense. We have, knock on wood, we haven't made an error in the last six games. We played really good that way.
Taylor Hill pitched a good game for you last night. You like his future with your club?
Oh, yeah. He really pitched well last night. I mean, he was 88-92 the whole time with a good breaking ball and a lot of strikes, and came right after the hitters. And then Drew Hayes the night before, a kid who played at Bethel College his first year for his he pitched really well. So these guys are playing with some confidence, too, and pitching with some confidence. I like it a lot.
I want to get back to your improved defensive play, doing some part to adjustments you made in your lineup defensively.
Yeah, I just got to a point, Mark, where it was about run prevention more than run production. I just wanted to put the best guys in there that could hold us down, because I realized, like, if you got fresh legs out there and alert minds, that it kind of just spreads through the dugout. And putting Brad French out there, I mean, I love him out defensively. I mean, he's a good little player. And I told him, I said, you just go out there and play defense. And I said, you don't worry about the hitting. I said, you get a hit every so often. I said, I'm fine with that. Well, he hits a home run the other night, and he gets on base. And the kids call him Catfish, because they say he picks up all the dirt at the bottom of the ocean, and that's basically what he is. He's just a kind of a grinder type guy, but I love his alertness, and he keeps everyone on task. And the other thing is getting Feinberg back on the field too. I mean, he's out there with a football helmet on and playing second base, and he's just a tough nut. I mean, this kid had two plates put in his jaw. 4 days later, he's on the field. So he's just a different guy.
How difficult has it been for him to play with that injury? Because, you know, there are a lot of issues there, breathing and eating first and foremost, and much less playing baseball.
Remember Dave Parker played with that?
Yeah, he had the football face mask. Was it Ellis Valentine had one of those too back in the day?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I wish I could tell you some of these stories. You don't have time for them, but some of the things he said to me is crazy. But it's easier for him now, because he's used to playing with a helmet on. Now, the only hard part is fly balls. He has a difficult time. But he also hurt his hand, too, which is another story, which he's been trying to get through, and which has held him back a little bit offensively. But I think he's used to it now. I asked him about the helmet, and I'd like to get that off here in the next couple of weeks, where he can just play without it defensively, but he'll still need it hitting-wise. But he doesn't see where it's a factor, and he's breathing. He told me one time, he said, Coach, I can breathe. I got two holes in my nose. That's enough for me. And it goes about business like it's part of his deal.
Timmy, the other thing too, and just sort of following your team, they've sort of taken on their own personality. After all the injuries, you guys went through a lot of adversity, as opposed to last year, where it just started out good and you were just a juggernaut through the regular season. Do you think adversity has really made this team a little bit stronger?
I don't think there's any question about that. I think adversity helps, and you don't always look for it. You don't always want it, but you need it. And last year we didn't. I mean, we may have had minor adversities, but we didn't have the thunderbolts that have hit our club this year. And, we went unscathed through the whole year, and then at the end we had the hiccup. Well, I think we've been through a lot of things that I believe will help us become tougher as the years progress. We've won a lot of one-run ball games. We've won on the road. We've taken on the personality where if we lose a couple guys, we're still fine. So I like the attitude. And, you know, Alvarez and Flaherty and Feinberg, I mean, we've just got some older kids now, and I think they see the light at the end of the tunnel. And all these kids are graduating tomorrow morning, and I think, you know, if they think of the game, the season ending, I just think it kills them. I just think they want to take this thing and go so much farther than the way we did last year, and I think they're capable of doing it.
I don't want to sit here and call you guys underdogs, but this, you know, obviously, you know, you're not going to be, you know, maybe the favorite team. You got two obviously big series to play before we even talk about the postseason. But it's going to be interesting because your team seems to be peaking right now. You look at, you know, most of your guys, De La Osa is hitting the ball better. Pedro, I think, has a chance, and I'm sure you think, has a chance to just be a beast for the next month. And, you know, you look at the way your team is set up now. I'm sure you have a lot of quiet optimism.
I do. I mean, I love that term, so if you want to keep using it, I love underdog term right there. It's better than the other one we had last year, but I think that's where we fit right now. We're kind of sliding up slowly through the polls and the RPI. I mean, we started out, I think the RPI was like 45 like 3 weeks ago. Now we're kind of sliding up to 21, and I just like exactly where we are right now. We're just kind of a quiet team that's sitting back and just holding on and continuing to play well. You mentioned Alvarez. I mean, the other night in Memphis, I could tell the swing's getting better, and the crowd was chanting overrated when he came up, and just as they were chanting that, he hit a ball like 450 feet, and the next time he came up, they chanted underrated, and it was kind of a nice moment, and then he hit another one. But he's just a kid that if he starts going on, he is. He's a gorilla. He's just a beast, and once he gets his swing going, I mean, it's contagious, and De La Osa is starting to move up now, and Feinberg, as I said, and Shea Robin, who I feel has just probably been as valuable a player to us as anyone. He's just an unbelievable catcher defensively, and now he's hitting the ball pretty well, so these guys are catching fire at the right time.
And I heard you say that the other thing that you got to like about Pedro is that with all the talk about the draft, and he's going to go very high, maybe number one overall, who knows, mm-hmm. but he has really got tunnel vision. It's all about the Commodores right now. It's all about the here and now, and the pros and the majors can wait later.
Yeah, that's exactly how he is. He's taken on a personality similar to Price, and that's the way it was. I just want to win, just want to win. And I've always told these guys that every individual accolade or goal that you get, and we don't set individual goals, will be you'll be able to get those goals if you just immerse yourself in each other and immerse yourself in the team. I said, I promise you that. I said, I promise you everything that you'll want if you just become team-oriented. And I think that's the way these kids have been. We've had good role models that way. Obviously, a coach can preach that, but unless your players really act it out, then you're nothing. And I'm fortunate that I've had good players that do act it out, and then they learn from each other. So Pedro's just another one of those guys. I mean, for that kid to turn down the amount of money that he did and show up in school, he's a poster child for our program, and I appreciate him.
You know, Pedro and Dominic De La Osa may get more of the headlines, but Ryan Flaherty is really having a heck of a season. 322, 12 homers, and 52 RBIs. What about the year he's having?
Yeah, it's outstanding. I mean, he's gone from a guy who's a prospect to a guy who probably drafted in the first round, too. I mean, his defense has been very solid, better than solid, very good. You know, those hits you're talking about, they all are clutch, too. They come at certain times. Like last night, game was 0-0. Came up with the bases loaded, two outs, hits a single up the middle, scores two runs. Next thing you know, it's 7-0. I mean, he is so one of those guys that is capable of doing that and does it and just plays with a good heart rate. You know, he slows himself down in clutch situations. He can perform. He's a winner. And you're right, don't talk enough about him, but I'm going to miss him too.
I noticed a couple weeks, and then maybe this is kind of off topic, but I think it was in the Auburn series, one of the Saturday games, you guys busted out the white shoes like the Oakland A's. Who makes that determination?
Oh, gosh, I wish I never did that. we wore those things at Clemson, and we got them made for us, and the kids wanted to wear them in the worst way. And, you know, we put them on and lost, and then we put them on again against Kentucky, and they lost. And I told the kids, I said, you make sure you clean those shoes and put them in the middle of the floor because they're boxed up, and we're going to send them somewhere else. I'm not going to wear those things again.
Be some kids down in South America wearing Vanderbilt's white shoes?
Yeah, I'm going to send him to Reggie Whittemore for RBI. His kids can wear them because we're sure as hell not going to wear them.
It's the Blue Moon Odom look.
Yeah. Hey, long gone.
Really? Let's talk about the here and now again with Georgia coming in. Your place is going to be packed. It looks like they're going to be three sellouts. Just going to be a fun atmosphere this weekend.
I hope so. I mean, I just hope the weather cooperates because that's been the one thing that hasn't, but I think if it does, which I think it's going to, Friday and Saturday are going to be nice, then I think we should have a great crowd. You know, we've already got the bleachers set up from the beginning of the year, and now we're at a part of the season where, you know, basketball's over, the weather's nice, and now we're playing for something. And, you know, we're playing for an SEC crown right now, and you got the number one team coming in. You got high-caliber guys. Gordon Beckham, their shortstop, is the leading candidate for player of the year. And Josh Fields, their pitcher, has only been scored on one time all year, so he's the premier closer in the country. He throws 95, 96, 97 miles an hour, kind of like Casey Weathers. So I think there's been a lot of attention on them. I think our kids like that, and I think we'll play well.
They going to bring Ugga and set up the doghouse down there by the dugout or anything?
Geez, I don't know. I've never seen that thing on a baseball field before, but I hope not. I don't want to clean that mess up.
Sam, we'll talk to you later. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All right.